It's Thursday, December 8th, 2016.
And you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff.
You're listening to episode 169, Monkeys Are Jerks. Runtime for this episode is 45 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is trying a second time. My name is Jeremy.
It's like we have extra lives or something. I'm Tyler.
I get the feeling we've done this before. My name is Zach.
Also Kevin's here.
I had nothing.
I mean, normally that's Zach's role, so.
Not me this time!
Yeah, you were like actually on point, so.
Alright, so we have Kevin for the last time for a while, maybe, unless he just, like, leeches onto us and drains our energy. Are you going to be our big bad, Kevin? Are we thinking we defeating you, but really, you're going to have been there all along?
No.
Our Apoclamon?
What if I just turn into your Vegeta, where I kind of just, like, stay?
I'm pretty sure
you steal my shirt.
Yeah,
and my girlfriend.
I'm pretty sure you're actually the big bad, Jeremy, because you have been here the whole time. You're secretly sabotaging the podcast from behind the scenes with all the editing you do by, namely, taking all my wonderful commentary out.
But he also created the podcast, so what's the point of destroying it?
So really, I'm a...
You never question the motivation for villains.
I'm the Sentry from Marvel Comics, where I am... Whenever I do a good deed, an evil version of me that is also me undoes it.
Wait, what?
That's the Sentry's deal. He's got a second personality that's evil, and anytime he does anything good, the evil one comes and does something evil.
But like, are they physically separate entities?
No.
Okay. Huh.
Marvel Comics, man.
I mean, it's a cool idea. I really like it. I'm just, like, wondering how practically that would work. Like, it would be really annoying.
Yeah, for a while, Emma Frost had it repressed, but then Norman Osborn was like, nah, let that out. Having your evil side come out is cool. Nothing bad will happen. Let's go beat up Thor. He took over Oklahoma.
Wait, who listens to Norman Osborn?
Oh, remember when he got made head of superhero Homeland Security?
What?
Because Deadpool shot an alien?
What?
And people were like, we can't trust Nick Fury or Tony Stark. How about that guy who threw Gwen Stacy off a bridge? He seems trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't kill Gwen Stacy.
Deadpool shot an alien and then they decided they needed...
Norman Osborn told him to. Like,
Norman Osborn told Deadpool to shoot an alien and Deadpool was like, well, it looks like the writer says I'm supposed to shoot an alien here.
Norman Osborn also paid him to do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's Deadpool.
I was like, I could honestly just see Norman Osborn being like, hey, go shoot that alien. And Deadpool just being like, okay.
I have no moral quandaries with that.
So Kevin's here because, like we said a few episodes ago, we lost the back half of the Psychonauts episode. We also lost our entire episode on Donkey Kong for Game Boy.
So instead,
why exactly are you telling everybody this? You can use podcast magics to remove it.
Because they deserve
it.
To know.
No,
they don't.
Because I need mana. Confessing the podcast secrets is how I restore my mana for that podcast magic.
So the joke also, I was going to make when I interrupted you is, so we're re-recording Metal Marines.
It'll happen soonish. Maybe that should be our Christmas gift to our listeners. Zach wasn't even there. He might have opinions on it. He might like it. I don't think he will.
It was okay.
I'm just taking a guess.
It's a turn-based strategy game about mechs.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
It seems cool. It is not very well, like, it needs more depth. Anyway, this is neither here nor there.
Yeah, second time in the podcast we've lost an episode, and I had the Metal Marines one for a while. I lost it between laptops. Maybe if we ever do a Patreon, the Scar Demon episode that was Donkey Kong will get released, but I don't think so. That's really unlistenable. Which is why we gotta re-record. In the meantime, Zach, what have you been playing?
Like I said, I've been playing a little bit more Fire Emblem, if because, hey, I can. Played a bunch of League. Like, me and Kevin played a couple of games when they had the Legend of the Poro King come back. We had a particularly bad win rate. It was like 1-3 or something like that together. And then I played alone and I didn't lose another game for the entire weekend. It was interesting. We played a ARAM game. The enemy team had a Sona on there. 70% win rate on ARAM usually. We ended up winning the game and the enemy Sona was like, this is bullshit!
It was like, pretty great. They were like,
what?
They had the better team. We just played ours better, so that's why we won.
It was just great to have somebody playing one of the most more broken champions on the game mode complaining about it.
Yeah, but it's ARAM. It's very possible they'd never played that character before. Didn't know it was broken. It's not like they're like, ha, I'm a Syndra ARAM main. Because that's not a thing.
Yeah, I'm aware. But it's just like one of those things where I was playing Vel'Koz. You know how many times I've played Vel'Koz?
I've never even heard of that hero, so not much.
He's the flying spaghetti monster.
He's a beholder.
I've played him like twice because I got him in ARAM. He's got some weird trigonometry things going on with one of his skills.
Triangles.
At least you use that right. I hate all the people that say, oh, you need to learn geometry in order to be able to use his attacks. Because he's got a thing where he fires out a projectile and then it splits at a 90-degree angle.
Oh, okay. So it's actual triangles.
Yeah, so it's actually trigonometry. But everyone always says geometry. It's like geometry would not help you with this at all. You need to understand trigonometry so that you know at what angle to fire your projectile to hit them with the other projectile.
You know why I call it trigonometry?
B squared equals A.
Squared.
You know why I call it trigonometry and got that right? I hang around with Kevin and I've heard him bitching about that very thing.
Are those in trigonometry a subset of geometry?
No.
No.
Geometry is the study of shapes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Versus
trigonometry is specifically the study of angles. I mean, it's not just that, but that's what it focuses on.
Radiance.
Fun
cool
stuff.
How do those work?
They released the new preseason patch, so all the stuff came out, and one of the masteries is called Courage of the Colossus, and you can get some mega-sized shields off of that thing, and it is really interesting. I haven't seen anybody use Redemption really well yet, but that's an item that I'm afraid of someone actually using it well, because it is the first item they have released that you can use while dead.
Huh. What does it do?
It creates a zone where any allies caught in the zone when it comes down after like a 2-second channel or something like that are healed, and any enemies in the zone take a certain amount of true damage.
So it's like that one Call of Duty skill where you just drop a grenade on your corpse.
Can?
Except for it's a healing grenade. It's if that grenade healed your friends.
So it's more like Anna's grenade from Overwatch?
Yeah.
It's interesting. A couple of the items they added, the other one being Knight's Vow, look really interesting, and I haven't seen those make a good chunk or good use out of those yet, because it's only been in a couple of ARAMs, and it's a very, very early patch when we're recording this. So, but other than that, I mean, it's League, and I haven't really been playing a great deal of other stuff, just because work's kind of still extant?
Yeah, no, that happens.
Pokemon Sun and Moon aren't out yet, and I'm just like,
I get more excited every day.
Oh, so do I. I preloaded them.
You can do that?
Yes.
Sweet. I should pre-order it so I can preload it.
You have to buy it, but yeah. I was going to do that anyway.
I got mine from Best Buy, so literally on Friday I'm going to leave my work, drive to Best Buy, and then walk out of Best Buy with them. Although I'm probably going to pick up a DVI to VGA.
You should do that at some point. Yeah.
Or adapter while I'm there.
See, Pokemon comes out on a Friday, which is reasonable, and why the hell don't video games come out on Friday? So I'm not actually mad about it, but I was expecting it to come out on a Tuesday like video games do. my thought was, oh, I'll preload it, and then Monday night after my D&D game, I can just play that until I have to go to work at 2:30 the next day.
Yeah, I think it's because of shipping.
I think it's just because that's when they can get it. There's no reason for games to come out on Tuesdays anymore. Once upon a time it was shipping, but that's not really the case anymore. We pretty much get products in every day. A Friday is a much better day for it to be.
I could also see them trying to not compete with movie releases.
Yeah, but there's no reason not to in this day and age.
I would not be surprised if Best Buy already had a whole bunch of Sun and Moon.
Oh, they almost definitely
things
do.
In the back already. Yeah, because they probably have a good chunk of them.
It's a little early. It'll probably come Tuesday, but that's just because, like, developers don't want people breaking street dates.
But regardless, I've got both of them on pre-order. I'm going to have a lot of Pokeballs if I actually redeem that.
You get 12 fastballs if you pre-order it online, which is weird, but I'll take it.
Whatever.
I like fastballs.
So, okay. I'm going to cut in. You're done, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
Just go with what I've been playing, because I've been playing Secure Some Mythical Pokemon for your collection.
Oh,
sounds
yeah?
Like a fun
How'd you
game.
Do that?
Well, I found my Jirachi bonus discs that I haven't seen in about 10 years since I moved into this house.
Bonus disc?
Yeah, it was a pre-order bonus for Pokemon Colosseum. It was a disc that if you connected your Game Boy to your GameCube with that cable, you could download a Jirachi from it.
Huh. That's cool.
Unfortunately, I cannot find my cable, so I had to order one on eBay for $3 and it's not here yet, but that's a pretty big thing down. So because I found that, I was feeling lucky, and I bought a copy of Pokemon Ranger. For those of you who don't know, you can one time per cart transfer a Manaphy from Pokemon Ranger to Pokemon Platinum.
Is that the only way to get a Manaphy?
It's the only, like, renewable way to get one. It's the only one in the wild. It's been an event a few times.
Okay.
What's a Manaphy?
It's a Gen 4 mythical Pokemon. It's interesting because you can breed it with a Ditto and create a Fion, which does not evolve into Manaphy.
But they look very similar.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. It's actually kind of similar to, like, how Dittos are kind of off-brand Mews.
That's a theory that I don't buy, but...
It seems
like you can link to it in the show notes. But anyway, I was just like, I'm going to go to eBay and buy the cheapest copy of Pokemon Ranger. And it had the Manaphy egg on it. And then I was like, yeah. So I was like, I know there's a way to get a Mew. What is it? And I'm like, oh yeah. Ugh.
Push the truck.
It sounds more ridiculous than that, but it's real. So there's this game on the Wii called My Pokemon Ranch. Game is maybe generous. Really, it's more storage space for Diamond and Pearl. You can transfer Pokemon to it and they'll just hang out there.
So it's not like a Monster Rancher with Pokemon theming.
That would be cool, no. But like, it is like a physical ranch. You can see Pokemon walk around in it. You can like put little pools for them to play in. Not stuff I'm super interested in, but it's stuff.
It's kind of like that thing they allude to in the anime where Ash sends too many Tauros to Professor Oak.
Yeah. If you get 999 Pokemon in My Pokemon Ranch, you can trade an egg for a Mew. So I'm going to need a lot of fastballs in Pokemon Pearl, because I'm resigning myself to play Pearl and catch 999 Bidoofs. And I'm going to actually have to play the game, because I will need the money for the Pokeballs.
Sweet Bidoofs. In fact, you're probably going to have to actually finish the game and fight
Elite
Four. So.
To afford that many Pokeballs for Bidoofs.
Yes. So
the newest type of Pokeball. The Bidoof ball. I guess it would actually be a Rattata ball, because, you know, you're looking for the crappiest...
Bidoof is actually useful, though?
I would actually call it the Rattata-cetera ball.
What is the most useless Pokemon, do we think? Lovedisk? Lovedisk has those heart scales, though.
Man, what is it called? It's like the awkward snot snail in a red shell.
Magcargo?
No, that one's actually useful. Ah, what is it called? It's so... pointless. It has a super high defense.
Oh, Shuckle?
Shuckle. There we go. It's a Shuckle.
No, but thing is, Shuckle has such a high defense, you use it as a tank.
No, it's not even a good tank.
It doesn't learn the right moves for it.
Oh.
Shuckle's pretty useless. Oh, or Dunsparce. Dunsparce is
pretty Dunsparce. Yeah, Dunsparce gets
Dunsparce.
Like, everyone's like, Dunsparce. Pretty useless.
Its name even implies it.
Even Magikarp eventually.
Bidoof. Bidoof has the best name, though, and it's good HM Slave.
So there you go, Ferret.
Yeah, Ferret's good for that, too. And Leon.
I used, what was it, Politad? Politoed?
Poliwag?
No. The one...
Politoed is the one that's fully evolved with a King's Rock.
So it's one of the lesser evolved versions of it from, like, Ruby or Sapphire.
Poliwhirl?
No, not Poliwhirl. The frog Pokemon that's got a lily pad on its head.
Ludicolo? Oh, Lotad.
Yeah, that's it, Lotad.
Oh, and it evolves into, like, a...
Yeah, Ludicolo, Mariachi. I think, is the fully evolved form of it.
Yeah.
That guy's a hilarious HM slave.
So anyway, like, preparing to play Pearl and catch 999 Bidoofs.
999 Bidoof in the grass.
You're going to have to keep us updated how many more Bidoofs you need.
I'm doing that last because there might be a Mew event before then that will spare
Would you like me to create a Bidoof counter for the website? Because that might be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
Great, but in the meantime, I'm playing Omega Ruby. I beat up the Elite Four and did the Delta episode. It's weird how JRPG that is, and it's cool to me that there's, like, this Pokemon story, but since I knew the story going in, the dialogue is just, like, it's not it's bad, but I know it's going to happen, and it's weird having to go through JRPG dialogue in a Pokemon game, and I wonder how that's going to feel in Sun and Moon.
I mean, that depends.
Interblurbing.
Interblurbing?
Exactly.
And also, to answer your question from a few weeks ago, maybe in the episode we lost... You do not shunt the Meteoroid into another dimension because one of the other characters takes away your ability to do so because she does not want to commit genocide on an unknown people and dimension.
Yeah, but that's in another dimension. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, she's like, or you could catch Rayquaza and turn it into a super dragon and fly into the asteroid and destroy it. Which of those sounds better?
Well, one of these sounds cooler.
I was like, yeah, shunting it into the other dimension because that sounds way easier.
Yeah, but you don't get a Rayquaza and you don't fight Deoxys in space.
I mean, both of these sound cool.
So I now have all of the mythical Pokemon, or know how I will get them for the first three generations, which is nice.
I mean, so what's left? I mean, Palkia, Dialga.
Those aren't mythical.
Oh.
They're legendary.
Oh, there's a difference?
Mythical is the ones that are events that you can't get in-game.
Okay, I didn't know they had a name for those.
Yeah,
so.
There were three different names for them in Japanese. There was Rare, Legendary, and Mythical, and they just started using Mythical in all regions, I want to say, when X and Y came out.
Okay.
Which I like as a distinction.
Yeah, it homogenizes the process a little bit to make it less confusing.
Yeah, yep. So I need a Shaymin, a Darkrai, and I don't know why either of those are Mythical. It makes me sad. A Victini, which I've spoken of my struggles with.
Wait, really quick? What's a Jawa stripe for Pokemon?
Victini, and then I need a Deoncé and a Hoopa.
Hoopa.
A McDonald's Pokemon.
A Deoncé and a Hoopa?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Hoopla.
Maybe it is Hoopla.
It'd make more sense.
Oh my god.
Hoopa is the genie Pokemon, and the only way you've been able to get it so far was from McDonald's. And that was when I was playing Pokemon, and I meant to get one, it just never happened.
Oh man, those names are fantastic.
What's wrong with Deoncé? I don't...
Deoncé.
I keep thinking of it as Beyonce.
Yeah, see that.
That's exactly what I heard as well.
I also need a Melodica, but that is available in December for Mystery Gift, so...
Melodica is different than Melodic, right?
Yeah. I think that's not actually how you say it. It's a music note Pokemon.
Yeah, no, we completely screwed up. I actually posted a link to it because it turned out we were pronouncing it super wrong the last time you mentioned it, but I can't actually remember the real pronunciation.
So is it supposed to be like Melodica?
No.
It's derived from melody, and that's all I remember.
So I think it's actually like Melodia. I don't think there's
Melodia? Actually... There's no C in there? Jeremy's just trolling us?
Might be. So anyway, yeah, playing through the end game of Omega Ruby. It's weird comparing it to Heart Gold, which I just played, and I was talking about how Heart Gold's end game is not as good as you remember. Omega Ruby is probably my least favorite Pokemon game thus far, just because of the crazy amount of experience you get being too much. But it's got a real tight end game.
Really quick, that thing? It's apparently a Meliodas. Or a Meloetta. There we go. It's a Meloetta. I actually really like the design of that, but it almost feels not Pokemon to me.
Yeah, I kind of see that. It's got two forms. It transforms during battle if you use a specific move.
Is it base versus treble?
Yes, because I think that... something like that. So what's been treble in you, Kevin?
So I picked up a new game called Momodora Reverie. It's either A Reverie Under the Moonlight or Reverie Under the Moonlight.
But there's some moonlight and some reveries.
Oh, is this the one you were telling me about, that Symphony of the Night?
It sure looks like it.
Yeah. So you are a priestess who uses a maple leaf as her main weapon.
Oh, Canada.
I'm terrified of a maple leaf. Is that the general consensus of the enemies? Or
no, you also have a bow. It's apparently some spiritual thing where it's like the maple leaf has spiritually sharp edges, so it's useful for fighting ghosts and other entities like that.
Yeah, have you ever seen Rocky and Pocky?
No.
The girl in that is a priestess, and she uses a maple leaf as her weapon.
Yeah. So. But the first enemies you fight are midgets who hurl fart bombs at you.
Huh.
They don't act.
This sounds incredibly highbrow.
I was going to say, these seem like a foes for Alucard, but not really.
They're not actually fart bombs. They're like poison bombs that, when I was looking at it, the thing looked like they're hucking poison turkey at you.
As you do, you know.
As long as it didn't come out of the wall, you should be good.
And then for one of the boss fights, you beat on a giant woman's for a while.
I'm glad I bought this game now.
Originally you're beating up this like little tiny thing, and it turns out to be this like all-powerful witch who's big.
Kevin said, hey, it's on sale. I'm like, what's that game? And he's like, it's on your wish list. I'm like, so it is. As I was watching the trailer, I'm like, I can see why this is on my wish list now.
Yeah, that's why it had been on my wish list as well. So my email was like, hey, this game's on sale. I was like, I don't remember what this game is. Ooh, well, I should buy that. That looks fun.
So I also bought it, but haven't played it.
So I originally tried playing it with keyboard controls and just could not get it to work. They've got a dodge roll mechanic, but every time instead of dodge rolling, I would either shoot my bow or jump or something stupid like that. So I just kept, you know, getting impaled by things.
Ha ha! I'm going to intimidate this spike with my bow.
Yeah. Hashtag real world problems.
All right.
Hashtag priestess problems.
Anyway, Kevin, anything else?
Let's see. I have something I'm planning on playing. So Mass Effects 2 and 3 recently got backwards compatible on the Xbox One. So it's finally giving me the excuse to play through the whole trilogy again, because I've been following the Mass Effect Andromeda news that's been coming out recently.
So you'll have to let us know what you think of Mass Effect 3 another time around.
Yep.
Mass Effect Fetch Quest?
That was the first one.
Mass Effect no. would just make out with Tali.
That's the third
one. Isn't that
one.
All the games? I feel
you
like
you can't make
all
it with Tali in the first one.
Or the second one.
Yeah, yes, you can.
No,
I did
you
it.
Can.
Because I was planning to save myself for Liara, but Tali was too cute, and I was like, oh no, if that was me in real life, I would totally want Shepard to bang me, and I cannot say no to her. So now this is happening. Jack quit trying to hit on me. I was just trying to be nice to you.
Yeah, I stayed faithful to Liara in the second game because I had Lair of the Shadow Broker, so I could go be with Liara in the second game.
So did I, but...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lair of the Shadow Broker sounds like a sex dungeon.
That's when you find out that the
I mean, that's when you go have sex with Liara again, so...
Yeah, it's when you find out that the big, mysterious, underground kingpin guy that was mentioned in the first game is actually just literally Bowser on an airship in the middle of the galaxy somewhere.
It's pretty great.
So, Bowser from the one where he steals the fairies.
Yeah. Anything else, Kevin?
No, not really.
All right, Tyler, I choose you. What have you been playing?
Pikachu! Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Tyler! In terms of video games I've been playing, the answer is no.
Did you play Pokemon? No. It's a game where you don't go anywhere and therefore can't catch any Pokemon.
I've been playing that one a lot.
Actually, now that I think about it, there's some mildly interesting updates they've made to Pokemon Go.
Like Zapdoses?
No, still no Zapdoses. Actually,
Zapdai.
Zapdopiday. They actually added a couple updates ago all the legendaries for Gen 1, but no one's encountered them. Also, they added code for Master Ball, but no one knows how to get one. And also, all the legendaries are only capturable with a Master Ball. It seems like an event they may do eventually.
That sounds like Pokemon. Just for the reason Pokemon was on the Virtual Console for so long was they didn't want to do it without having trading and battling in it with other players. And that game is made so much of duct tape, they were afraid they would touch it, and it would be, oops, all missing nose.
Oh, Miss
Captain Crunch's oops, all missing nose.
That's a pretty good way to look at that, because that game is held together by spit and twine.
Yeah, the Pokemon podcast I like to say is fond of saying it's held together by duct tape, and don't lift the duct tape. You can kind of pry it a bit and get an infinity of an item if you want, but don't lift.
Yeah, we're actually talking about that, a couple months ago, when we actually went and looked up the Game Boy architecture and all the things that you can do with it. I'm like, okay, so these are the resources you have. I'm like, oh, no, that's cool. You can definitely put a bunch of jump points between all the different RAM ports. And then we started looking at the Pokemon Red code because someone had actually decompiled. I'm like, why would you do that? What is wrong with you people?
Have you ever seen somebody speedrun one of those Pokemon games?
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
I assume you guys have seen Pokemon Plays Twitch.
Twitch plays Pokemon?
No. Pokemon plays Twitch.
Yeah, someone hacked Pokemon to...
Through one of the Super Nintendo compatibility cartridges.
To load Twitch and watch Twitch streams.
Yeah, so it reads Twitch streams and then reprints out Twitch streams on the Game Boy using Pokemon.
I have not seen that, but that's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
I'm still surprised Twitch managed to beat
Pokemon.
They had to...
I hoped.
They had to institute a special rule to get through...
But then they uninstituted it.
Well, it was just to get through
Rocket Hideout.
Yeah, it was to get through one of the dungeons because they were literally going nowhere and they're like, okay, we need to...
I can't believe they caught a Zapdos with a Master Ball as planned. They must have eaten so many potato chips.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, no, so the thing they added in Pokemon Go recently, in addition to the legendaries existing, they also have, I think, a plan to port Ditto in. Is you'll get a Pokemon who 10% of whose texture is wrong randomly. And then after you go and check your inventory after catching it, it turns out to have been a Ditto.
So are Ditto horrifying to you the more you think about them?
Yes. Yes, they are. Actually, it's the thing, basically, right?
So. Yeah.
Oh, because it just takes over.
There's also the theory I nixed, I think, last episode or maybe earlier this one, that Ditto is a failed experiment. Yeah, eventually led to Mewtwo.
According to the theory, that's why there are Dittos all over the Cinnabar Mansion, and also why only Mew and Ditto know transform.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a reasonably compelling theory. Yeah. I don't think that
it's
was intentional.
No, Venonat evolves into Butterfree, right?
Yeah.
Which is just a 100% lock.
So they added a plan, theoretically, to, I'm not sure if that was actually officially announced, to introduce Ditto. But the cool thing that they actually introduced is basically a daily streak bonus. So the more days in a row you either catch a Pokemon or spin a Pokestop, there are actually two separate bonuses. You get a super bonus at the end of a 7-day period.
It seems like if they had that in place from the beginning, that would have been better. Because what that game sorely needs is retention mechanics.
Yep. So I guess better late than never. They're doing a lot of cleanup stuff, which is nice. I kind of wonder if they're doing it in preparation for Gen 2, because I've seen a lot of...
Why would you not skip to Gen 4?
I like Gen 2. Who doesn't like Gen 2?
Old people like Gen 2.
Skarmory. Skarmories are cool.
Donphan's one of my faves. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, and I think Gen 4 is probably the better choice, so...
No kids jumped on Gen 2. Kids jumped on Gen 4.
Yeah, that's actually Pokemon Rumble did the same thing. They had Gen 1 and Gen 4, and I think that worked pretty well for them. They eventually retroactively introduced everything else, but...
What's Gen 4 again? Is that... That's Diamond and
Diamond
Pearl,
Pearl,
right?
Platinum, yeah.
Never played those.
Piplup!
Neither have I. But I gotta catch 999 Bidoofs.
Oh, okay, actually...
I got 999 problems, and they're all Bidoofs.
Again, you're gonna need to get a soundbite of Bidoof and just use that every time you catch a Bidoof, like, Bidoof.
Bidoof.
So, who's going to trade for my sweet doof? So, you mentioned earlier that you're going to play Pearl, but you also mentioned that you're going to, or that you want someone to pick a name for your Platinum starter.
Yeah, Platinum
so.
And My Pokemon Ranch are not compatible in America. There's a patch to do it in Japan, it never came to America.
What?
No, don't look at me, it does not seem like a great game, but I want that Mew.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, I actually really liked Platinum. I like the level design fairly well, so we'll have to see what you think about it.
Yes, we will. Not going to play it till after Sun and Moon, though, so.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Play the fun game before grinding for Bidoof.
But Platinum, I've only heard good things about Platinum. But I'm going to play through Platinum and then play through Pearl grinding for Bidoofs.
Bidoof.
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 Bidoof. Although, you could actually play through Platinum, catch all the things there, and then trade them all to Pearl?
Yes, but I need to catch 999 Pokemon in Pearl.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise you can trade.
What?
Right?
I can't trade it. Here, have a nothing. Cool, thanks.
I'm
That's
gonna,
my favorite Pokemon.
I will gift you this Bidoof. I'm so generous.
Here, can I trade you this this rock? How about this rock?
It's probably a Pokemon, right?
It's worth a Bidoof, yeah.
It's a level zero Graveler.
So speaking of missing now, and the Game Boy, we played a Game Boy game this week, specifically Donkey Kong for the Game Boy. A sort of, I don't want to say sequel to Donkey Kong, it's not really, a Donkey Kong-inspired puzzle game. It was released as a companion for Donkey Kong Country, but it was made by Nintendo R&D2, those wacky guys, and not Rare. So it starts out with a Game Boy version of Donkey Kong, by which I mean the original arcade game, just sort of grafted on as the start.
And like, smashed.
Yeah, the screen's kind of truncated.
Well, yeah, they can't fit it on the Game Boy. The yep. NES was made specifically to run a mean game of Donkey Kong. The Game Boy is not that powerful.
Actually, the thing they added is a bunch of new movement mechanics, which make those first four levels easier to get through.
Yeah, there's a like handstand jump that's kind of weird that lets you jump higher, and a backflip that's similar to the backflip in Mario 64, but you have to get a running start to do it.
I think at least three of us did that on accident while trying to avoid a barrel on one of the first couple levels.
Yep. They also added the ability to throw the hammer in the air, so that you can throw the hammer in the air, climb up a ladder, and catch it to take the hammer to another level.
Which is pretty cool. They also made the falling damage. They didn't
more
get
generous.
Rid of it, but you have to fall a much further height.
And several times,
it.
I feel.
I didn't even notice that there was falling damage.
Yeah, I did lose the falling damage once, but I think I fell like three or four times from a height.
Yeah.
I kept missing that jump.
Mario does like a pratfalling animation if you jump from slightly too high, is kind of like a warning, like, hey, don't jump any higher
but
than
you
that.
You also get like an Ocarina of Time style roll when you fall if you're a little too high.
Yeah.
Which can mess you up if you accidentally roll into spikes.
Yeah, that definitely harmed me more than it helped me.
So the squished screen makes the game easier in some parts, but harder in others.
But that's not really the meat of the game, right?
No, it feels like it's weirdly grafted onto a completely different game. That's kind of a puzzle platformer. I know it's not the first puzzle platformer, but it's one of the earliest ones I've ever played. And it's weird for a Mario game, because the challenge is in solving the level, not in your reflexes or getting past the foes or pits.
Yep.
But it's not bad.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Every four levels, you get a cutscene involving Mario and Donkey Kong, and almost always, if they're introducing a new mechanic, they, like, kind of show Mario using the new mechanic in the cutscene, which is kind of neat. It's like...
So the first one is pretty much every level requires you find a key on the level, and then get it to the door. So the first cutscene is Mario grabbing a key and using it, and that just tells you, okay, I need that key to get through this door.
Yep.
Easy peasy.
And it's very Mario 2 style. It's almost got the exact same animation where, like, they pull it up from underneath it.
This game takes a lot of cues from Mario 2, the American version. because you don't jump on enemies to kill them, but you are safe if you jump on them and can then pick them up and use them as projectiles.
Most of them, anyway. There are actually some that hurt you on any contact.
Yeah, but they have spikes, so it's traditional Mario rules there.
Yeah. Similarly, you can pick enemies up and throw them into each other, and they do like the weird like double bounce and then fall off the screen thing. I'm trying to think of some of the other mechanics. There's like ladders you can extend, which are kind of neat.
Yeah, it's like this power-up, and then you can choose anywhere on the map to make a ladder, and it will go up and down until it hits basically two platforms and create a ladder for a little bit of time.
There's also
vertical platforms you can make over spikes.
Horizontal, you mean?
Yes, thank you. That work in a similar way?
There's actually one spot where you need to use the ladder to get through a platform, because otherwise it's an unpassable platform, but you can go down ladders. It's kind of neat. There are lots of points in this game where I, like, stare at the screen for a while, wondering what the hell I'm supposed to do, and I have a couple of nice aha moments.
Yeah, it's pretty well designed in that way. None of the puzzles seem too hard or too easy, but none of them seem super inspired either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, every four levels you have a boss fight with Donkey Kong.
It didn't retain my attention very much. That was my problem. I couldn't get past the first one because I just lost interest.
I mean, I can definitely see that. I ended up just stopping because I was like, I think I've gotten all the enjoyment I need out of this game.
I don't know if I beat the first Donkey Kong boss you encounter in the city.
Which is a little sad because that's easily worst of the Donkey Kong bosses.
I've heard that from when you guys are talking about a lot of these, like the ladder platforms. Sounds pretty interesting. Where I was, I didn't get access to it, so I'm like,
I got, there's definitely a level where you have switches where you can let out enemies that both hurt you and enemies that are just things you can ride.
Yeah, that's the level I got to, where I got to the boss after that, but it's basically you have to let these enemies out because one of them will go up and down this wall, and you need to ride him up the wall.
It took me a while to figure that one out, but the trick there is, like, don't let out the ones that hurt you and do let out the one you need to ride. There are a couple things like that. There's actually, I got to a ship level, and there are, like, some enemies you need to ride, and you need to use the horizontal platform to move one of the enemies to an area where you need him. All of them took me a little bit of time to figure out, and were fairly satisfying, but not really special.
They didn't make the, oh, what's next?
Yeah, exactly.
They made you think, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
So on the first Donkey Kong boss fight, I didn't realize that you could scroll the screen, because I hadn't really been able to previously. So I literally sat there dodging the falling debris that he kept raining down and was like, how do I get up to those platforms? Because there were platforms that I could see above me. I was like, oh, I have to try and backflip up there. And then I was like, no, that didn't work.
Like, I actually thought that you could jump on top of the falling stuff, maybe, and like...
Huh, that's strange, because I got that right away, but...
Yeah, it didn't take me very long.
Yeah,
but...
it took me a little bit to realize what really gave it away was there was, like, part of a platform, like, just sticking out of the screen. I was like, oh, well, maybe I just go this way. And I was like, huh, this is weird. I didn't think I'd be able to scroll the screen.
I didn't get very far either, but all the boss fights I encountered were different, and that was cool. Every level felt a little bit unique.
Actually, the one where Donkey Kong throws down, like, three barrels in different places.
And you have to pick them up and bring them back and throw them at him?
Yeah, they repeat...
Barrel-checking jerk.
They basically repeat that fight later with a different environment that's a lot more hazardous.
So, like Bowser in Super Mario Bros. And I'm okay with that, although it would have been cool if they came up with different ones for each one.
They're largely unique.
It's 106 levels, like... They're going to probably be repeating stuff at some point.
Yeah, but it would have been real impressive if they managed to do 106 levels that all felt unique.
Yeah.
And since they're all puzzles, that would be fine. It's not like a game where you want your skills to build on each other. Zach is nodding sagely and tiredly.
I don't have a whole lot to add to that. It's like, you're right. There's not a lot. I mean, if they can get 106 levels out that are completely unique, oh my God, how'd you do that? But you're not really going to have, you're going to repeat yourself.
Kind of a weird thing about this game, I was like thinking about how it looked and trying to think of it, and I was thinking the background screen on the world map looks really interesting, but we haven't actually described the world map.
Yeah, it's just got a Mario-style world map. You can't really ever make choices, you're always progressing forward, so it feels like it's just taking a trapping from Mario and putting it on there.
Yeah. On the other hand, it does give you some sense of progress in each individual level, because honestly, I would have lost count of how many levels I had done up until a boss fight sometimes.
If it were a modern game, that would be considered the loading screen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess what Tyler's saying is still true of a loading screen, too, right? Like, if your loading screen said you've beaten 6 out of 10 levels. It also takes some mechanics from Donkey Kong Jr., which we haven't played yet, mostly the vines.
Yeah, there's definitely some boss fights. Actually, I think there's one that's literally out of that game that's a boss fight with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it felt to me like it might be. Basically, it's just parallel vines you can climb up and move between.
Although, it's kind of weird seeing Mario do the, like, Donkey Konging rope climb mechanic. It just looks silly on him, but...
But, like, all the Mario Game Boy games have been a bit weird, right? Because Shigeru Miyamoto isn't making them.
So there isn't a consistent Miyamoto-ish theme?
No, and it's people that kind of want to poke more fun at Mario. We'll really get that when we get to Mario Land 3.
I mean, overall, it's a fairly solid puzzle game. It saves, right? I think after every boss fight.
After every boss fight.
Yeah, and probably its biggest flaw to me is you have a limited number of lives, which is fine, but the penalty for running out is going back to your last save, and repeating puzzles you've already done is just kind of tedious.
Yeah, puzzles are fine, but repeating a puzzle where you already know the solution is kind of obnoxious.
That said, I never had any issues with lives. I was always sitting at, like, 40.
Yeah, at the end of each boss, you get a new life for every 100 points, which is a cool incentive to actually try to get points.
And each level, there are collectibles, and if you get all three collectibles on a level, you get to play, like, a little gambling-esque minigame. You can either do a slot machine or, like, a roulette wheel, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Okay.
But you get some amount of lives based on those.
Yeah, so overall, I think it's a pretty solid puzzle game, and when you consider it's a Game Boy game, that makes sense.
Like, it would actually be pretty nice to have just, if I'm waiting for something to play two or three levels and then put it down, I played it all in one sitting, and I think that was not the correct way to play it.
Yeah, it seems like a good car ride game if you can beat four levels every car ride.
You need to do four levels every single time. You couldn't just do two or three levels because then you wouldn't save.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
But I do have one little nitpicky thing of, it kind of bothered me that you had to be on top of the key to pick it up. Like, I realized that was the little cutscene showed Mario doing that.
But it didn't really seem obvious at first. It seems like because you can walk through it, right?
Yeah, so I was standing right next to it, pressing the pickup button, and it wasn't like I was in any danger, but I was just like, why am I not picking up the key?
Yeah, I did that too, but I feel like if you're fluent in Mario 2, you pretty quickly realize that's the mechanic. Mario's all about jumping on stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I picked that up. It was just this one weird little thing that bothered me. That, and sometimes when you have to throw the key up to move it to a place where you can take it to the door, there'd be like an enemy bouncing nearby. So it's like, well, now I have to time not only me getting the key up there, but me getting myself up there, getting on top of the key, grabbing the key before the enemy hits.
Yeah, there are occasional execution challenges, and actually I would say that's probably this game's biggest weak point, is that the movement mechanics feel weird, and like the hitboxes seem imprecise. Like, I felt like I should land on top of things sometimes and just didn't.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't a super bad problem, but it definitely happened.
All right, anything else? Final thoughts on this game? It's pretty good. It's not great. It's high end of mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty accurate description.
Manatees are vulnerable, not extinct.
Ah, well, that's new. We've brought back the manatee, guys. I'm going to pretend I was right all along.
So, speaking of manatees, we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played. At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin. Which should be the
Which is like manatees, right?
It's a water creature.
They're slim manatees.
At the top is Chrono Trigger, where you could probably, like, stop something from going extinct. That seems like a side quest that would be in that game.
I feel like that's humanity. You're stopping humanity from going extinct.
Yeah, but...
It's more stopping it from being eaten by, like, a parasite creature.
That's a form of extinction.
Unlike most creatures, humanity are usually... determined to make themselves extinct.
In the middle is Excitebike, that fun game with bikes.
Yay, bikes.
So how do we think it compares to the original arcade Donkey Kong? The game it jam-packed a lesser form of right in front of it as like a prelude?
Yeah, that is definitely a thing. While I definitely prefer the original Donkey Kong's implementation to Donkey Kong, I feel the Game Boy Donkey Kong, which probably should have just had a different title entirely now that I'm thinking about it, was a more interesting game overall.
I think the other way around. I think the base model Donkey Kong, you could actually get much more play out of that one because you're constantly mastering the thing, while the Game Boy Donkey Kong, you're just redoing puzzles.
Yeah, well, it's not even redoing puzzles. All of them are different, at least. But it's definitely, like, one's a puzzle game and one is an action game. I feel like there's more to the puzzle game than there is to the action game.
You get more replayability out of the original Donkey Kong.
That's very true.
Yeah, there's an entire documentary, King of Kong, about that. That said, Donkey Kong never grabbed me the way Pac-Man did or Star Fox 64 did in a chase high scores kind of way. I can certainly see why people would want to do that, but it feels to me like really that's just about endurance. It's about repeating these things as long as you can without error. And while I see the appeal in that, I kind of prefer the puzzle game that's changing things up.
Or like you said, Pac-Man at least gets faster every time, so the challenge is slightly greater every iteration.
That makes sense.
All right, so let's see. How far do we want to scroll up? How do you think it compares to Solomon's Key? That's another puzzle platformer that we've even played on the NES.
I mean, you were mentioning this earlier, where Donkey Kong on the Game Boy never really makes you go, huh, I wonder what's next. And I feel like Solomon's Key introduced enough new elements every level. That said, each individual puzzle in Solomon's Key I felt was worse.
Like, I hated Solomon's Key.
I kind of actively liked Solomon's Key, but I feel like as far as like closed room puzzle games go, I like Donkey Kong on the Game Boy more. The puzzles were better designed.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Solomon's Key felt kind of samey in some ways. And Donkey Kong has more mechanics to play with.
Yeah, that is true. I guess Solomon's Key's big thing is that you can create or destroy blocks, and that's about all you can play with.
So this is a bit of a stretch, but Punch-Out is kind of puzzly, and that's about finding tells.
I'd rather play Punch-Out.
I also would rather. Like, it's a good combination between action and puzzle, and it's very colorful. The characters stand out. I remember a lot of them still.
All right, I would so have that... to say that I would give it to Punch-Out because there are people that like that game so much they learn how to play it blindfolded.
Which, if nothing else, is amusing to watch, right?
It's super amusing to watch.
So that's unanimous. How does it compare to Super Mario Land 2, another Game Boy outing for Mario? That's the one where you're in Mario Land and Wario shows up and steals your statue of yourself.
I feel like I have negative opinions about Super Mario Land 2, but only in comparison to Super Mario Land 1. That said, overall, I think there's a lot more going on in that game. I would prefer to take the reasonably well-designed platformer to the kind of designed platform puzzler.
I think I agree with Tyler.
Yeah, even though I don't like the ending of Super Mario Land 2, the worlds kept me engaged and made me want to see them.
They're neat, and the way the overworld map is designed is just, it's bizarre.
So another kind of mediocre bathroomy game is Excitebike, which is dead in the center.
I'm sorry.
For us.
Bathroomy game.
Yeah, that seems like the game you'd play in the bathroom, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's short. Anyway,
I'd rather play Excitebike.
I guess my problem is Excitebike gets boring for me after about 7 minutes, and
Donkey Kong has more freshness to it.
Yeah, like that...
it also gets boring about after 7 minutes, but when you come back to it, you're gonna see something new.
Yeah, and Excitebike is definitely, like, it has a mastery element, but I feel like it's so shallow that you can do it after a couple hours.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's better than Excitebike, but kind of just barely.
Yeah, kind of just barely.
So how do we think it compares to Mario Brothers? Another Mario game, that's the one where you flip crabs with a POW block.
I'd rather play that one.
Yep, it's a surprisingly fun game. It's a fun arcade game, it's got co-op, it has colorful designs. It's a weird idea, so.
All right, then. Last but not least, how do we think it compares to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
I'd rather play Tony Hawk's.
Yeah, I mean, I like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater pretty well.
I disagree with all of you, but I am outvoted.
So 3-1.
Donkey Kong for Game Boy is very central, which seems right to me. Below Tony Hawk and above Excitebike.
And coincidentally, that is actually exactly where it ended up last time, so.
All right. So, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
I've been giving this some thought, and unfortunately the game that I really wanted to play, while they have made new versions of, are not on any of the emulation thingies. We have words for those, right? Emulation thingies?
Yeah, emulation thingies.
They're called consoles. Emulators.
So instead, I've been wanting to get around to this game for a while, and I like the series really well, so I think we're going to do Mega Man X2.
Extreme!
It's the one with animal friends.
That does not endear it.
Also, you're putting Zero back together, I think. It's either this one or X3 you do that in.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Also, I think by animal friends, he means animal robots that are trying to kill you until you kill them first.
No, there's actually power suits. Maybe they're not animal friends, they're power suits.
All right, next time on Last Time, this is my power suit. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg
at lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.